And we'll open in a word of prayer. Father, Lord, we ask your blessing on our time tonight. Lord, may you open our eyes, open our hearts, our minds. Lord, to understand here how we are to understand this discussion. We ask your blessing on our discussion together as well. And we pray that you make this night tonight fruitful, Lord, and glorifying you. We pray this for your glory. And in the name of your son, Jesus, amen.
Amen.
All right, well, welcome to whatever Truth Hunters Forum this is, January's edition, I guess. We're going to keep the same schedule, except I think we might have a little bit extra time at the end. I wanted to give a little extra time for questions. I said what I had to say, so that's usually how it goes. Again, if anybody's on Facebook, you can ask questions. Just put it in the comments, and we'll get those. Our question for tonight is the Bible against science? Is the Bible against science? It's a big question that has really taken off, I guess, over the last, I don't know, maybe 100 years or so. The two ends kind of seem to keep going away from each other in a way. But first of all, I want to mention that I posed the question that way, is the Bible against science, really to attract attention. Because that's the way that these discussions are often framed. Is the Bible against science? But if you think about that, I believe that's the wrong question. Is the Bible against science? Because it automatically sets up science as the standard to which any claim or interpretation of the Bible must meet, right? See that? So framing the question this way inevitably makes it seem that science has the full, correctly understood body of knowledge to which the Bible or Christians or whoever are either antagonistic or desperately trying to make it in. Right? It should be more properly, from my perspective, is science against the Bible? Or, to kind of meet in the middle, are science and the Bible contradictory? Something like that. Anyway, that's the first reason why I don't like the title. But the second is that it makes it seem that the two are mutually exclusive. Right away, it kind of presupposes that there is, that you have two things that cannot go together. But they're not. They're not mutually exclusive, at least on a basic level. So we're going to look at that first, and then we'll see where these contradictions or incompatibilities come into play. So first, what is science? What is science? The Science Council defines it as the pursuit and application of knowledge and understanding of the natural and social world following a systematic methodology based on evidence. Oxford's definition is similar. The intellectual and practical activity encompassing the systematic study of the structure and behavior of the physical and natural world through observation and experiment. So you have chemistry, geology, astronomy. I always get astronomy and astrology mixed up. One is science, the other one is hocus pocus. You also have sociology, anthropology, archaeology. Science. Science is the process of seeking understanding about the natural world, and of course, employing the methods of observe, right, gather evidence, those things that we all have probably learned in science class, experiment, interpret, analyze, and verify, scientific method. So basically, when you're trying to figure out what to do with a giant hole in your yard, you're doing science, right, to understand the natural world. When you're trying to understand why your cantaloupes aren't growing well, and you're moving them around in your garden from year to year, you're doing science. When you're attempting to understand your wife through decades of marriage, you're doing science. So on a basic level, is that in any way contradictory to the Bible? Absolutely not, right? It's actually part and parcel to our role as human beings. At creation, God charges Adam and Eve. He charges them. He equips humanity to take care of this world, to build something grand out of the world that he's created. We looked at that a couple months ago. What's my purpose in life? Genesis 1:27, God made man in his image. Right? Part of which means that he gave us a mind. He gave us curiosity. He gave us the ability to inquire and to understand. And then with that understanding, he gave us the responsibility to create, to cultivate, to promote human flourishing, have dominion over all the created order. So according to the Bible, doing science and then employing it for the glory of God and for the good of all humankind, that's really one of the main jobs or purposes or roles that we have as human beings. Furthermore, David announces in Psalm 19 that the heavens declare the glory of God and the sky above proclaims his handiwork. And he goes on to in the next few verses to give examples of that. But one inference from that is, since all of creation declares the glory of the Creator, would it not behoove us as human beings, and even be imperative for us, to seek to understand everything from the greatest lengths of the universe to the intricacies of the little tiniest particle? It all declares the glory of God. Right? In order that we may see, do that so that we may see and know and praise the one who made it. So therefore, science, as basically defined, is an extremely biblical endeavor, isn't it? In fact, you would be unbiblical to neglect the employment of a science that has its foundation in God and is seeking to glorify him and promote human flourishing in this world by doing that science. But we all know that this is not what the question is intending, right? We're asking this question in the first place, is the Bible against science? Really, because science has devolved, get it? Has devolved into something less than biblical. And so that much of what popularly passes for science is contrary to and antagonistic toward much of the Bible's teaching. That's why we're asking this question. So the Bible teaches that after God created man and employed him in science, right? Who made the first scientist? God did. Man got too big for his britches, right? And thought he could do better than God, right? That he didn't need God. It sounds familiar, doesn't it? Man went into rebellion against God, planning to live as if he didn't exist, and therefore corrupting the beauty, really, the beauty of pure and good science into an effort to prove that God isn't real, to prove God's non-existence. And by doing so, popular science has tossed out the key ingredient to doing proper biblical science, right? Remember those definitions. What is science? Science is basically seeking to understand and know the natural world. But now, for much of the scientific world, implicit in their definition of what science is means seeking to understand the natural world through natural processes and natural means and natural explanations. As in, there's no room for the supernatural, right? So where's the bottom line here? Now we're going to look at, we're not going to look at different evidences. If you were coming here tonight, and hoping to get good good evidences for or against creation or resurrection or whether or not you should take the vaccine or whatever it may be. That's not what we're going to do. Because evidence only goes so far, doesn't it? Facts only go so far because they're interpreted, right? And then they're thrown into the blender of decision, right? What facts do you believe? What evidences do you believe? What interpretations do you hold as true? And what do you throw out? But what we're going to look at are the foundational claims, the core of the antagonism between the Bible and science. So what does our question infer about the kind of science that may or may not be against the Bible? It refers to the conglomeration of unbelief who tries to figure out the world without God, without creator, without judge, without redeemer, without salvation. A world without purpose. A world without divine accountability for one's actions. Right? A world where humanity is the top dog. Paul describes this kind of science in Romans 1, well before Darwin and Dawkins, but exposing their theories as really rebellious idolatry. Verse 18 of Romans 1. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth. So you see that? They suppress the truth by their unrighteousness. In their sin and rebellion against God, they shove the truth of God to the back of their minds. John 3:19, and this is the judgment. The light has come into the world, and people love the darkness rather than the light because their works were evil. They loved a world, a pseudo-reality, where God does not exist, the darkness, right? Because their deeds are evil. So hence now you have a realm of science that operates under the assumption that God doesn't exist. Because somehow, somewhere, they know that they are in rebellion against God. Because they love the darkness, right? Because their works were evil. So this kind of science is really a pipe dream, isn't it? A safety net, an attempt at comforting a hurting soul that knows it can't stand in the judgment. Verse 19, for what can be known about God, Romans 1, is plain to them because God has shown it to them. For his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world and the things that have been made. So they are without excuse. For they, although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him, but they became futile in their thinking, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Claiming to be wise, they became fools. And that's why the psalmist says in Psalm 14, the fool says in his heart, there is no God. So that's really the basic paradigm that this kind of science operates under, isn't it? Their principles of interpreting the evidence. This is the core issue. The Bible is against this kind of science. Because the scriptures are clear that God exists, that he created this world, that he miraculously works in it, right? That he suspends the laws of physics and whatever other kind of laws there are for his working in it. Those laws, by the way, that he created. And he has plans for it. In fact, the Bible assumes that this is the only reasonable grid for proper science to be done, for proper, for evidence to be interpreted through. If science is the accumulation of knowledge, right, about the natural world, the Bible says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Proverbs 1:7. You can also look at Proverbs 9:10, Psalm 111:10. And Job 28:20-28. So there's two different grids of interpretation, aren't there? One that necessitates the reality of God as defined in the Bible, and one that desperately tries to exclude him. So then to have this discussion by looking at the evidences for God or evidences for the Big Bang or for the resurrection or whatever isn't necessarily pointless, right? But it probably just isn't going to go anywhere, as you probably all are aware, right? If you've watched YouTube debates or listened or seen any kind of debates about this, it really just has to do with who's the better speaker. Because evidences are interpreted through a grid, right? And these two grids are diametrically opposed. It's a worldview issue, isn't it? It has little to do with science or with disproving, or it has little to do with science disproving the Bible. Okay? We hear that a lot. Science has disproved the Bible. Okay? Even answers in Genesis, right? Science proves the Bible. That's great, but science doesn't need to prove the Bible. Okay? It has everything to do with how one answers the question, is God God or is science God? Right? An atheistic scientist and a biblical scientist have the same evidence. The atheistic scientist tries to plug that evidence into his narrative of natural processes, while the biblical scientist is going to plug that evidence into the narrative of Scripture. Right? So, I think that pretty well answers the question, very rigidly, is the Bible against science? Yes and no, right? Foundationally, science is meant to be a handmaiden to the truth revealed in the Bible. But when science diverges from that truth, then it claims something it has no right to claim, authority. And that leads to a major follow-up question. Since the Bible and this kind of degenerate science operate under two incompatible systems, which one is right? Which one is the authority? Is the Bible checked, edited, or deleted by findings of science? Or is science only truly science when its findings are compatible with the biblical worldview? What does science say? It says that human reason is the foundation of knowledge, right? Human reason is the foundation of knowledge. The Bible says that the fear of the Lord is the foundation of knowledge. So maybe a curveball here to anyone who likes to pump up the faith versus fact argument, right? You know, scientists or whatever, they look at facts, at evidence, at truth, at what's real, at hardcore, like what you can see with your eyes and test. That's where it's at, right? But those Christians, right? Or any theist for that matter. They rely upon unproven, non-factual faith. But wait a minute. An atheist scientist is relying on faith just as much as the Christian. Maybe more so even, isn't he? Well, what's their faith in? Human reason, right? Isn't it? Human reason that we as human beings have the capacity not only to collect, but also to rightly interpret and apply all the evidences in any scientific endeavor. But has your reason ever failed you? What's reasonable? When you get up in the morning and you walk outside, stick your key in the ignition, turn it over, what's the reasonable thing?
It's going to start.
It's going to start. Does your reason ever fail you? Yeah. Sometimes it doesn't start. And there's many other examples. Is that the thing that you're comfortable putting your faith in? Human reason. As opposed to the God who has revealed himself clearly in Scripture, who sent his Son as the full and final expression of him, that through his gracious, forgiving, redeeming death and resurrection, we fallible and corrupt human beings may enter into the knowledge of God, and therefore correctly explore the knowledge that is to be had in this world. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. So just in closing, if you've been resting in your own reason, or even placing your faith in the reason of scientists whom you have never met, that's a shaky foundation to base your life on, isn't it? It will crumble. And it doesn't matter how much one tries to get God out of the picture, he's there. The creator and the judge. But as Romans 1 makes clear, you're suppressing the truth of God in your unrighteousness. Right? It's because you're afraid of judgment, or because you just love your sinfulness. That's the reality. So instead of turning to the smoke screen of science to offer your soul some comfort, pretending that God doesn't exist, why don't you turn to the God who made you, the God who sent his Son to fully and completely forgive you from your sin, as he himself suffered under the righteous judgment of God on your behalf? And for those who are believers, are we to cower before science? And we look at science, and they have all those degrees, right? They live at universities. Should we feel insecure when someone comes waving all this scientific evidence, so-called, in front of you about a Big Bang or evolution or the unreasonableness of resurrection or whatever it may be? They have years in academia, but it's the fear of the Lord that's the beginning of knowledge, isn't it? So Ephesians 5, 6 to 11, let no one deceive you with empty words. For because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not become partners with them. And a lot of Christians should take what Paul's saying there and apply that to this discussion. For at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of light is found in all that is good and true and right. And try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. Not link up to them. Right? Theological evolution or whatever. What's that called?
Theistic evolution.
Theistic evolution, yeah. God made that little ball that exploded, and then everything else is what the scientists say. But also, if you're a believer, we need to remember that science is a good thing, isn't it? True science is a good thing. It's a blessing from God. It's a biblical thing that God has graciously given us, blessed us with, to both glorify him in a greater way and also to promote human flourishing. To live better, to live more comfortable lives. To get more done. For the glory of God. If we didn't have science, you all would have walked here tonight. That is, if we even live this long to begin with. Some of you wouldn't be hearing a word I said if it wasn't for science. The job for the Christian is to maybe draw the line between good science and rebellious science. And I think I did go a little shorter tonight. Maybe a little bit. Because I wanted to give us some more discussion time. I thought this might have... This is a huge, huge thing. I wanted to cover the basics. And I know there might be some more particular questions out there. So we do need to flesh this out. I was quite general. I understand that. So let's talk about creation versus evolution. Or flood versus not flood. Resurrection. Flat earth. Just threw that one in there. Global warming.
I have a question.
Vaccines.
If the earth is flat, where do we